Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We're joined by John Morosi, Fox Sports MLB reporter. John, how you doing today?
Brandon, Tiki, I am outstanding. I hope you and your families are doing great and staying healthy as well, and look forward to talking some baseball with you.
Yeah, no doubt. Look, thank God everything is good on our end, and hopefully it's the same for you. We're hanging in. We're doing what we do, we're keeping a positive attitude, doing our shows, and one foot in front of the other. But I got to tell you, John, so I saw your last tweet here, right? Now, let me read this. John tweeted this. Major League Baseball announces 0.1 positive test rate among the 53,000 plus samples taken since monitoring testing began last month. 49 players, 22 staff members have tested positive. So zero, much less than half of 1%. But for some reason, John, I don't feel incredibly encouraged despite that tweet seeming very optimistic.
Well, it's obviously a multi-layered story. And you're right. Those are the raw numbers. They were just released here 20 minutes ago, and it's 0.1% for the last week. In fact, 0.1% since the monitoring testing began, since the workout started last month. So by any measure, 99.9% of the tests have come back negative. That's actually quite remarkable when you consider what the positive test rate is in society at large, which of course is a different circumstance because generally speaking, you're not getting a test unless you're symptomatic, whereas in this situation, you're getting tested all the time no matter what. So that's one important distinction here. But I think we're also seeing that while this number objectively is very encouraging, we are also seeing, even again with today's news, that the Cardinals and Cubs game has been postponed because of another positive test with the Cardinals. So it's that dichotomy of overall the numbers are encouraging. The numbers to me suggest that finishing the regular season and then potentially moving to a centralized postseason is very practical and very, I think, realistic to hope that will occur. But it also says that day-to-day, for an individual team or an individual series happening, when a positive test comes up, it's a scramble. And yeah. I think that's what we're seeing right now with the Cardinals and Cubs, and let's hope that we don't get reminders of that again over the weekend and into next week as well.
Now, John, when you say a centralized location, is there a bubble included in that conversation? Or, I know, 'cause that's what people are speculating. Why hasn't Major League Baseball contemplated this, especially for the postseason? It'd be hard for the regular season, but in the postseason, it seems like it might be doable.
Well, it's an excellent point, Tiki, and that's exactly what's happening right now. I think the commissioner is looking at this with staff at the commissioner's office and consulting clubs and owners and certainly with the players as well about the very strong possibility, I would say, of there being some element of centralizing the postseason. Now, would it be from the very first round? Remember, we now have 8 first-round series because we've got 16 teams making the playoffs, different this year. So that is one change where maybe the first round would be at team sites and then you move into more centralized locations for the following 3 rounds. I do think that just based on what scientists have said regarding COVID-19, that some element of centralizing the playoffs is likely. And the commissioner, in fact, acknowledged as much in an interview recently about how the league is looking into it. Now, if the overall numbers in all the competing cities are quite low for COVID-19 by the fall, then maybe they're able to play in their own ballparks. But it does seem to me that once you're at that stage, that centralizing things in a bubble and eliminating being on a plane and traveling around the country at a time when it seems like the fall is a greater risk for cases in general, that it seems to me that that's a prudent path to take. And I would imagine that here we are on the 7th of August, I would expect that a tremendous amount of bandwidth in the commissioner's office and among the players' union's top officials over the next 6 weeks will be devoted to finding a way to centralize the postseason in some way, shape, or form to ensure that once you get to that part of the season, you have as low of a risk for a positive test as possible. Because as you point out, Tiki, once you get smaller numbers of teams involved, you don't need quite the same number of venues.
Yep.
And as we're seeing with the NHL and the NBA, the bubble concept works.
We're talking to John Morosi, our buddy from Fox Sports, MLB reporter. I think you'll appreciate this, and I think our audience will enjoy a little, oh, as Phil drains a 20-foot birdie, shaves off a shot, nice. He's almost at the cut line. A little baseball conversation. You know, listen, we had to get this stuff out of the way. It's a paramount story.
Sure.
We're all over it. Can you somehow put into historical context, like, what Jacob deGrom has been doing? Because, you know, I mean, I don't know exactly how old you are, but I know that you weren't watching Bob Gibson or you weren't watching Koufax. Neither
No.
were we, you know, or a young Seaver or a young Steve Carlton. Neither were we. But we did watch Randy Johnson. We did watch Greg Maddux. We did watch Roger Clemens. We did watch Pedro. We did. I mean, I left a few off. Clayton Kershaw. Has anybody been better than what he's done for however long you want to define for what he's doing?
Well, I think that it's one of the best pitchers that we have seen in this era. You look at Kershaw, I would say that overall, the duration of Kershaw's peak, and certainly he still has great starts and great outings to this point in time, even this year, I think Kershaw's peak as we speak has been a little bit longer than DeGrom's. And you probably say Pedro. I'm just kind of going in the last of this century, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'd probably put Pedro and Kershaw just with dominance and duration of time ahead of Jacob for now. But you look at what he has done. He leads the majors 2 years ago with a 1.70 ERA. And we know now, certainly, that you cannot fault a pitcher for his run support. That's been the reason why he hasn't been winning 25 games a year. But he certainly has pitched well enough to do that. Last year, leading the league with 255 strikeouts already this year. Just tremendous numbers. 22 strikeouts against three walks in 17 innings. He is as dominant as there is right now in the game. I believe I'm pretty comfortable saying that, although Shane Bieber in the American League might be a bit of a contender right now with Cleveland. He's been magnificent as well. But I think that, to me, is one of the great things to talk about here, Brandon, because as much as the Mets have struggled and the Cespedes story was really kind of bizarre, this is a great player. And they've got another great player with Pete Alonso in the lineup, and Conforto has emerged as well. If you set aside some of the things they've had to deal with off the field, it's actually a really talented team and some really incredible players to watch. So I'm glad you asked about it, because I really think DeGrom, again, I'd put him just behind Pedro and Kershaw among great pitchers of this century, and Verlander is in the conversation too.
Verlander,
but he's got
sure.
every chance to be among the greats, and maybe even one day a Hall of Famer, although a little bit of a later start to his career. He didn't make his debut until his age 26 season, which I think works against him a bit in that regard. By then, Kershaw had already pitched 6 years in the major leagues by the time he was the same age that that DeGrom was when he debuted in the majors.
Yeah, but John, if you've got four Cy Youngs, it doesn't matter how many wins you have.
Well, that's right. And I think that it's not even about wins anymore. As a Hall of Fame voter and a Cy Young voter myself, I set wins aside. I think when Felix won it the year, I think he had 11 wins.
11.
That changed everything, and it's been different ever since. And it should be, because no one should fault DeGrom for the fact that he had just awful run support for so long. So I think that with the Hall of Fame for me now, it's all about the peak and how dominant you were at your peak. And I think DeGrom, for me, is probably, and this year is such an aberration in so many ways, but if you tack on, even though he debuted late, if you tack on two more ERA champion-type Cy Young seasons, I would agree with you. I think he is about that far away from me from saying he's in the Hall of Fame, even though right now he's got fewer than 100 wins.
Good stuff. John Morosi, Fox Sports MLB reporter, helping us bounce around a little bit. Tiki and Tierney.
Hey, you know, John, we talked yesterday about Shohei Ohtani and the decision of the Angels to kind of shut him down as a pitcher. BT and I were kind of in consensus that it's probably time to shut him down permanently as a pitcher. He just keeps getting hurt when he gets on the mound. We know he's got interesting amazing stuff up there, but it's not worth it, especially because he went yard yesterday. He could probably be an elite second to Mike Trout right now. What's the thought on Ohtani with the Angels right now?
Well, this is really a dilemma, I think, for the Angels in so many ways. And it's a great topic, I think, for all of us to consider because he is a great talent. He does have a chance to captivate people because he's trying to be the Babe Ruth-type figure that can do both things. But you're right. It's physically demanding. And he's doing it, obviously, at a routine where in Japan you pitch once a week. Physically, the demands of the game here are greater because of that, because of the rest dynamic and the way the rotations work, the fewer off days that you have here in the States. So a lot of reasons make it harder for him to do that job here. I think Eduardo Perez, my colleague and my friend, had a great suggestion here, which is if you do want to try to have Ohtani keep pitching, have him be a closer. Have him be the Angels' closer. It's a lighter workload.
Interesting.
You let him basically hit and almost, you know, keep him sharp with the pitching as much as you can. But when it's a closer situation, it's total focus for one inning, and there's not as much throwing in between or really working out a full side session as a bullpen. I think it's a great idea that if you're going to bring him back, do it as a closer. In some ways, that would even make him even more entertaining because you would potentially have that excitement of him being involved every single game almost. So I think it's a great idea, and it's one I believe the Angels should look at seriously as he gets back to pitching hopefully next year.
All right, John, forgive me 30 seconds on this. I'm not sure how much you're into uniforms and throwback stuff, but I got to tell you, man, I don't know if I've ever seen a better array of uniforms than we have now. The Brewers are absolutely sick, their new threads. I love what the Padres are trotting out. The Rangers' Sunday powder blues are tight. The Phillies last night with their throwbacks to Mike Schmidt and Greg Luzinski. I mean, the uniform game is sick.
I love it. And how about the Kelly Green of the first place Oakland Athletics?
I love
those
too.
That's a unique look.
That's right.
I agree with you. And the Padres, to me, guys, I love the way they're playing. They've made some great moves here recently. Trent Grisham playing a great center field. Jake Cronenworth, really versatile player as well. So the Padres, I believe, some of the players they brought back, they've got a chance to make the playoffs for the first time since 2006. And even the Marlins right there, still in first place. So it's been a really unique year, obviously in so many ways, but some great storylines on the field as well.
Are the Marlins, is this truly a facade? I know the Marlins have talent. Can they hang around for a little bit here or no?
I tell you what, their pitching will get better once they get their players back from the injured list. So I think they can hang in there. You know, and the Mets, of course, at the bottom of the division, it's a tough division. They've got the defending World Series champion Nationals in there. But you've got to credit Don Mattingly, Derek Jeter, what a great job they've done there. Michael Hill, their GM. Yeah. So I think they hang in this thing for a while. And eight playoff berths in each league, my friends. It could happen.
I don't disagree. John, good chat, man. Have a great weekend, pal.
Thank you, John.
Love the conversation. Great weekend. Thanks so much.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.